Nope. Oh, shit. I did stuff. Fuck. Okay. We'll just ignore what happened. I've marked up the first 5 seconds.
I don't even think that'll... No, don't, maybe we're not like, going to worry about it.
I think it'll probably create like a easy place for you to jump to.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're going to be the first 5 seconds. So seconds 1, 2, 3, and 4, you can jump to them.
Thanks for that.
Something real important happened. Those key punchlines of we started the play button.
See, I wasn't quite ready for you to start.
Oh, we can pause it and I'll mark it.
No, it's okay. You're just going to hear a little bit of typing in the background. Make sure
I'll try
all
to...
the stuff up that I need to.
I'll adjust my mic. Testing, testing. Oh, yeah, this is like a real sound test. I just did it what we normally would do before we hit play.
Okay.
True sausage.
This is not a good intro. What are you doing?
We haven't started. I'm still waiting. You're clicky-clickying and stuff. And then we'll say, I push play, and then we'll do a real intro.
I don't think that's how it works. I mean, I guess it can work however we want it to work.
You're the editor. You have so much power here.
I can include stupidity or I can just make it like it never happened.
I mean, all those times in the past I've told you just edit it out.
Have I?
So I've been listening back. No, you haven't. I'm going to chalk it up to you didn't know how to do it.
Oh, come on. This is, if it deserves to be in the podcast, it deserves to be in it. I have cut stuff out when it just doesn't make any sense or like it's bad. But in general, most of what we record just goes straight into from our mouths to your ears.
Hmm. All the times I've said, we'll fix it in post.
We've never fixed it in post.
I don't even know what post is.
Yeah, you just do whatever you want and then expect me to fix everything. And nobody got time for that. Like,
I assumed they were getting fixed. And then I went back and listened and no, they were not. I looked like a fool, sir. A fool.
It's a gamer. We're here. It's a gamer.
This makes no fucking sense, but we're doing it anyway.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Make Me a Gamer, the procedurally generated podcast that's a roguelike for your ears. I'm your host, T-Man, and I'm here with...
Harvey Z, in the place to be. Why are we stretching it out?
You don't need to copy me every time I do something. You realize you can come up with your own bits, right?
I can. Last time we did that, we just shut the whole thing down. I don't think that one got posted, the whole thing.
I mean, I'm just saying, like,
okay.
Part of being a podcast is riffing off one another. And like, if I say something and you just
repeat it,
that's not a joke. It's not like fun following up things. Like, you got to do the improv, the yes and, right?
Okay, and always just agree with you, always be agreeing, okay.
No, not that, but like, keep the conversation flowing, you know? Okay, you clearly
don't know. See, I made a choice there. Did that work? I didn't do what you said, and I went for pure silence. Comedic genius, Harvey Z.
Oh, God, this is what I have to work with, people. Please, if you want to be a guest on this show, please let me know. I can work with anything, I swear. Okay, so we're going to start off with a Harvey Z snap.
All right.
I've already forgotten what we did last week.
Oh, we did snap something, but it was, I think, I saved the Marvel Universe.
Oh, yeah, it was the MCU and something.
Oh, Martin Scorsese.
Oh, yeah, the Martin Scorsese.
Yeah, that was an easy one.
Yeah. Okay, so now we're going to do something a little more interesting. I want to see what you feel about.
Okay.
All right. So, and this is semi-inspired by my girlfriend. On the one hand, parallel parking spots. On the other hand, metered parking.
So if I got rid of metered parking, do we just have unmetered parking spaces that are available for everybody?
Correct. And so like no time limits on space on parking spaces anymore.
So that's a good thing. And I'm destroying something bad.
I mean, but then they don't get money for like...
Yeah, I don't help the government and everything. And social services. But would the metered parking be parallel parking spaces?
I mean, some parallel parking spaces are metered. Some regular spots are metered, too.
And I don't know if you chose this specifically for... Harvey Z sucks at parallel parking.
I mean, yeah, so do I. Okay. So like, this is the kind of, like, the public good versus never having to worry about parallel parking ever again.
But, like, would all the parallel parking spots become, like, regular spots? Or would I just, like, magically know how to parallel... No, I wouldn't magically know. Everybody else would suck at parallel parking?
So, when I say parallel parking spots, what I mean is like, in cities and on, like, city blocks, spaces that are designated parallel parking spots are gone.
And then they just become...
Like no parking zones or extra road or whatever.
This seems bad on both ends, actually. Like, the metered parking, getting rid of that, yeah, it doesn't help the government and taxes and blah, blah. This one, I create, like, congestion and space problems.
But you don't have to parallel park anymore.
I don't really have to parallel park right now either. I just usually avoid it. And, like, in college when I had to do it, I would just drive around with Professor Q. And whenever I had to parallel park, I would just stop the car and we'd switch spaces and Professor Q would just parallel park for me. That was my solution.
I mean, okay.
You just have to have a guy who you keep around for parallel parking.
And... whenever you need to go somewhere that has parallel parking, bring him.
You just take him wherever you need to go. The parallel
parking guy?
Yep. That's
I've got a guy for that.
That's all you need, man. I think then I should get rid of metered parking.
So is this like you think we should make this like a service? Like make parallel some parkers? Sort of app where you can like be like, hey, I need someone to parallel park my car. Can you come with me and do this?
I'm so proud of you, T-Man. This is a million-dollar idea. We just need an app, and you can either be a parallel parker or one of the members who needs a parkee, and, like, you just put in a little marker, and it's like Uber or, like, Lyft or Lyft or whatever, and, like, someone will show up, parallel park your car for you, 50 cents or, like, a dollar for the service, and that's it. Boom.
So it's funny because I saw a tweet today that was something along the lines of all Silicon Valley tech startups are basically people who aren't living with their mothers anymore and don't know how to do adult things. And it was like commenting on an app that was like, fill my pantry for me.
I could use that app some days. Like, there's nothing wrong with that app. I think this service could actually work though, because what you do... it's like, so people who are good at parallel parking probably live near parallel parking spots. Like, New York City, the people living around there or around that area. Right.
Anyone who drives in New York City is crazy. I'm just going to go ahead and say that. I visited New York City for the first time a year ago or so, and the traffic there is terrible. Parking situations look horrible. I could not imagine owning a car if I lived in Manhattan, specifically.
So would you pay... one of those crazy people, $1 to parallel park your car.
I wouldn't own a car. That's the thing. Like,
well, if you're driving into the city, though.
I would not choose. I would never consciously choose to ever do that. Like, there is absolutely no way you could get me to take a car onto Manhattan Island. Like, I would have an aneurysm and die of a heart attack once I got on the island. Like, I am not good in that kind of congestion.
I'm liking this idea, though. Like, I think it... this is a good money-making scheme. I think it has potential.
Okay.
Maybe we need to also, like...
what's the snappy name for it, though?
That's what I'm trying to... That's the next part right here. I'm like, well, the initials... I don't want to make it like a PP service or something like that. Peons. No.
No. That would be an entirely different...
Well, app. It would be a pun in a way. But yeah, like, they would be peons. You hire a peon.
You don't want to... That's like class warfare in an app. You don't want to do that. We don't want to bring back peons.
I mean, it's good to be king.
No. Okay, so back to the decision.
I think I've destroyed metered parking, and I'm going to create this Harvey Z or T-Man and Harvey Z app, and we're going to profit off the parallel parking. Triple P, parallel parking profits.
No.
Hire a peon today.
No. Please don't ever say that. Here at Make Me a Gamer, we do not endorse calling other people peons, just so we're clear.
But we pay them.
Peons.
Again, you're on fire. I like the yes and.
Okay, so I can't remember if I promised this on podcast or not last week, but I said to Harvey Z that I was going to have like a story for this week and do like a one of the long form things, like a Schilling type episode. I love how that's our like reference point. It's one of the first episodes we did too, which is real interesting.
Which I still really like that episode. Yeah. I think it's a great,
yeah.
Like, go back and listen to it if you haven't, or if you're catching up for some reason this way.
Yeah, I think it's like episode 4, so it's very early on.
Mm-hmm.
But between life and the fact that we're recording this one a little early, because I've got an engagement on our normal podcast recording night this week, I didn't have a chance to get it already, and I didn't want to rush it and have it come out poor, so I'm going to wait another week on it. I've got an extra, like, week and a half before our next recording session, even though, we'll have Super Bowl stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I have to show up to your Super Bowl party. This is awkward. I was like, oh, I might not go to that party, but it's yours. I'll try to be there, buddy.
So we're going to do something a little different today. News, real quick news thing I want to do first, and we might then go ahead and do the countdown cauldron. Ooh. and get another game or two out of that, probably two since we didn't do one last week. It was a straight movie episode. And here's what I'm thinking. I don't know where I was going with that. My brain turned off. Well, I'm going to surprise Harvey Z. He doesn't know what's coming. First, let's do a little bit of breaking news. I need like a sound effect for this.
I was,
you know, like the banner that shows up.
It wasn't dramatic enough where I was like, okay, this is kind of catchy, but like it's not a, oh man, the news is coming up. We got to pay attention. It was a, all right, it's time for a little jig.
This is time for a little jig news with T-Man and Harvey Z. All
right.
Jig news, is that
no, I don't like it at all for some reason. It doesn't sit well, and I don't know why, but my gut says stay away from it.
Yeah, it doesn't, like, it's not, doesn't sound dirty, and it doesn't sound like bad. I don't, but it doesn't have that feel to it.
It feels,
you know?
Yucky. It's, yeah, a yucky word.
Yeah,
like gash.
Just jig even by itself.
No, for some reason, jig was
jig
okay.
Jig is fine. Jig and news is fine.
Yeah.
But jig news just...
It's like the moist.
Jig news sounds like the creepy guy that's selling you like something from the alleyway. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, go talk to Jig News. He's got the hookup.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah. I'm trying to think of other squicky words, and it's like, I don't really want to creep
you've
out.
You hit some, I think, of the squickier ones.
Yeah. Do you have any squickier words that weird you out?
Not really.
Those are kind of my big two.
Yeah. There aren't a lot of words that bother me. It's more mental imagery when people start describing certain things that I just can't do. But we're not going to go into that because, yeah, I'd rather not, because it squicks me out. So news, big news that happened, and I think it was announced this past Friday, that is directly related to something that we care about, or at least I care about and you sort of care about. Overwatch League has put together a deal with YouTube that all Overwatch League games are going to be aired on YouTube Gaming this year. So there will not be any Twitch.
Oh,
Overwatch League is not going to be on Twitch this year.
Is YouTube Gaming free, or is it like one of
these? So like it's similar to Twitch in that like it's free to watch it, but you get ads, and like if you pay a subscription, you can get less ads and whatever. But it's a big deal because, you know, a lot of people invested money into the Twitch. Like, you can get emotes, you can pay for a subscription to Overwatch League, all this stuff. They had built-in systems. You know, there was an all-access pass where you could, like, watch from all different camera angles and, like, from each player's perspective. They had a system set up because, like, you can link your Twitch account to your Blizzard account, and you get, like, Overwatch League tokens to buy skins in game by watching the Twitch streams. And now they're switching to YouTube, and everyone's like, well, do we still get all that stuff?
Yeah.
And right now it seems like, because, okay, like, this seems like a 11th hour deal sort of thing, because like the league starts in 2 weeks. Like, the Saturday after the Super Bowl is the opening homestand in New York. And so this, like, deal is coming very close to kickoff. And it does, like, it seems like people are of two minds about it. Like, a lot of the casters and the people who are paid to champion Overwatch League are like, oh, yeah, this is a good deal because YouTube streaming has a better bit rate and VODs are better on YouTube.
What's VODs?
I think it's video on demand.
Oh, okay.
Is what it's short for. And, like, it's just, like, the replay is sort of, like, Twitch's playback. So, like, if you miss a stream or, like, a Twitch, like, and try to watch a video of an old stream on Twitch, their player is terrible. Oops. So, that's, in that sense, it's going to be a lot better on YouTube because, obviously, YouTube is for playing videos. But, like, me personally, I have audio desync problems if I watch a stream or a video for too long, and it's way worse for me on YouTube than it is for Twitch. I don't know if it's just, like, latency on my computer or what's going on or what happens, but I have to refresh a lot more when I'm watching YouTube than I do Twitch. So for me personally, that kind of sucks. Also, obviously, YouTube is not moderated at all. Like, Twitch is mildly moderated, so, like, it's better than YouTube, but not still not great. Let's like be honest.
YouTube comments are
like YouTube comments are trash though, like straight trash. And so the chat and any like watching it on YouTube is going to be like, I don't know. There's not going to be any good conversation. There wasn't any good conversation in Twitch chat. Let's just be honest here. It's mostly like memes and phrases and, you know, 12-year-olds putting emotes in there.
We have a Discord now.
Yeah, we do.
People could just watch it with you on your Discord, and True. You can moderate your own chat.
Hey, I never thought about that.
Idea man here.
Oh, yeah, that's actually not a bad idea. I might put up an Overwatch League channel once the league starts, and, like, if you want to chat with somebody while watching, because it's a little different this year, because, like, last year, the schedule was Thursday, Friday nights, Saturday and Sunday afternoon evenings were when the games were. This year, they're only broadcasting on Saturday and Sundays, and some of them are at odd times, especially games that are in China, which they're not even sure they're going to have because of the coronavirus.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't even think about that real world shit.
Yeah, like they're like evacuating players to Korea right now, and they're like China players are getting their visas and hoping they can move it to. They might have like homestands in Korea. That's and
fascinating.
Stuff.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, because like. We haven't put down a ban or anything or a travel ban on these folks.
Right.
Like, if the paranoia and the hysteria gets worse, like, players could be forced to not travel to the USA.
Right. And also, I mean, they're part of the Pacific region. So, like, there are four Chinese teams, and they were supposed to be somewhere, I'd say, around 10. There's five for one team and two for the other three. So that's, what, 11 total homestands were supposed to be in China, and those are, you're going to go to China and then you're going to come back to California and Vancouver, and like it's a chance. Like, I personally think this is a stupid media hype thing, like SARS, and
it's interesting these days, but yeah. I have a feeling if this continues, I think they would shut down those homestand games. I know it's a lot of money and stuff, but China right now has bigger shit to deal with.
Yeah.
They may, or the other folks, i.e. the U.S., if it's U.S. teams going over there, may say, like, already they put travel bans, not bans, but they're basically saying only essential travel. If you have business, go, but do not go for tourism at this point. And, like, they're evacuating people from the cities.
Like, they're moving their Chinese teams for, like, the pre-league, like, training and, like, scrimmages and stuff. They're all going to Korea to do it. So there hasn't been any word yet on if they're like moving the homestands or not, but there's a good chance they will, at least unless in the early stages, but it depends on if they get a handle on it or anything like that.
Yeah, like I wouldn't buy any tickets right now for any Chinese games. I mean, I'm in the US obviously, so it's not going to be, but it is one where I would be thinking that
it kind of sucks though for like the Chinese fans, because there's a lot of big fans, and this was probably going to be a huge turnout. But, you know, that's just the thing that's going on right now.
Because I could see this potentially affecting Japan and Korea may soon get to deal with this stuff as the numbers start rising. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I could see that whole side of the Pacific, like, evacuating them to Korea seems like a good temporary move. I'd want to bring them, if I could, get the visas and stuff to the USA and keep them here. Because I'd worry about us closing the door on those two nations as well. I mean, Japan, it's going to be real tough to do so. Mm-hmm. But it depends. It's hard to play, I guess, like, this isn't rain or shine or, like, that sort of stuff. But this is, I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Ugh. And then, just as a small tangent and related to the coronavirus, there's a game called Plague Inc. And this was going around when I think last week, and it's probably still happening, but like they, whenever like some sort of like media hyped disease or whatever happens, they get an uptick in people buying their game because it's basically a simulation game where you like create a disease and like spread it all over the world.
I used to play it like back when it was for free, like a beta game, like way long time before they actually like made it into a professional. Yeah. I love that game. You would make a little virus or a little bacteria, and you could add things to make it more virulent.
Yeah.
And you got points for it.
Yeah. And so, like, they had to, like, make several announcements. Like, listen, this is a game. Please, like, listen to actual CDC people and actual medical people, because I understand everyone's curious about it, but this is a game. This is not accurate. Please don't use this in, like,
simulation models and stuff. Yeah.
So it was just interesting to see that kind of uptick happened. But so that just since we were talking about the coronavirus. So that's Overwatch League. We'll keep you up to date on how that's going. I'm interested to see how the YouTube partnership plays out.
As a layperson, like, I was excited when I first heard that because I use YouTube way more to watch TV shows and such. I especially like that I can go back to it later because I don't need it live streaming, that sort of an immediate action kind of thing.
Yeah, a lot of people also said that like YouTube apps and playing YouTube is a lot easier than the Twitch apps. They function better. And then YouTube opens it up to more casual viewers because now people who watch things on YouTube can get Overwatch League ads. So it might bring new people in. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm a Twitch fan. Like, I prefer Twitch over YouTube because of YouTube has terrible moderation and don't really care about lots of things that people care about. They only want the big sponsored people that make them money and don't really care about the little creators anymore. But aside from that, but like that's every streaming platform nowadays.
Sorry. Do you think it might be become like how we have like the prime football channels like NFL or not NFL, but like NBC and Fox, but then you can get like the pay channels that have like the extra footage and stuff. Maybe Twitch becomes that niche.
I don't know. Maybe we'll see. Because like they've made it clear that the Overwatch League players don't have to switch over to YouTube for like their personal streams. Mm-hmm. So they will likely still be on Twitch when they do their own like personal stuff. But like all of the players have now been like also linking to their YouTube channels to like just as part of the partnership. So we'll see where it goes. Is that it? You have anything else? Okay. Well, on the note of that, let us go to the countdown cauldron, which I still haven't prepared because I am lazy and a bum, and I apologize. But you can give me a number between 91 and 100. You already did 93.
Okay, we're still sticking with the 90s.
Yeah, still sticking with the 90s. This is only the second time we're doing it. We don't need to skip forward yet.
Okay, I didn't know.
For those of you who don't know what it is, sorry, I skipped right into doing it. Countdown cauldron. I have put together my list of games of the decade from 100 to number 1, and over the course of this year, I don't know if I might speed it up, maybe like half a year. I don't know. We're playing around with it right now. We'll see feedback and everything. Let us know what you think, how quickly we should go through it. But anyway, I've got my ordered list, and Harvey Z is just going to be picking out of the cauldron, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the games that are on here.
Which number had we done already?
Do you 93.
Know? 93.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw it then to number 100.
Number 100? Okay. Did we talk about this game before?
That's what I'm worried is. I thought you mentioned which one was 100.
No, I mentioned what was 100 on my all-time list.
Oh, God, it's different.
Yeah, okay. This one's different because this is only the ones of the decade. So number 100 is Return of the Obra Dinn.
Oh, the boat game.
Yeah.
The insurance boat game?
Insurance boat game, yeah. So we have talked about this. I think we talked about it. God, it came out in 2018, so it probably was early on in the podcast when we talked about it. I never finished it, which is a reason why it's not higher. It would definitely be higher if I had gotten further into it. I think I played it for like 3 hours. At that point, I'd only solved like 6 of the 50-some murders or 60-some, I think. Or like deaths, not murders. They aren't all murders.
You were really into this game.
So. Oh, yeah. I was really into it. And it's a game you have to have a really specific mindset to play because it actually requires you to think. And one of the things that was very interesting that I didn't get into a discussion with it, but I kind of commented on it because Adam Conover on Twitter was playing it. If you don't know, Adam Conover hosts Adam Ruins Everything. He also has a couple podcasts. He did a podcast that I can't remember the name of, that's very good, where he like interviewed a bunch of game developers as well. He plays games on Twitch occasionally. Used to work for College Humor. Anyway, Adam Conover, very funny guy. Look him up if you haven't. But he made the comment that like this game forces you to do something that a lot of other video games do, which is guesswork. Like a lot of video games and video game puzzles give you everything you need to exactly figure everything out. Like, oh, I've got the sword of Hummingbugger and the vase of Melroa, and now I can solve this puzzle because I've got all the key ingredients.
Sort of like how you can force your way of like, okay, I'll put the vase on the pedestal, then the sword. No, I'll put the sword, then the vase.
Yeah.
Like, eventually, a combination will click.
Right, yeah. And in this one, it actually wants you to like look at the information you have and be like, process of elimination. Like, I don't know everything, but I'm pretty sure this guy is this. And I just have to put this in and try it and see if it works. And the game encourages that to the point that like, you don't get perfect information. Sometimes you have to be like, oh, hey, I figured out that in the picture I'm looking at, these four guys in the corner are part of this group, and I've identified three of the guys, and this fourth guy has to be this last guy, but even though I don't have the information on him, it has to be him, because these are all four of them are together. And so it's that sort of, like, detective work that I love about the game and why it's on here, but at the same time, it's also a game that requires you to think, which means if I'm just looking to relax and turn off my brain for a little while, I don't want to be like, ugh. And so because I stopped and was like playing other stuff at the time, and the combination of then like I have to be in the right mindset to like want to like figure out a puzzle, and then enough time passed where I was like, I should probably just start over because it's been so long. I don't remember any of the clues I'm supposed to have.
That's what I was going to ask. Is it a game where you could play it for a while, but then like 10 days later come back to it, or the clues are constantly and you have to kind of remember?
There's a lot you have to remember, and like it's not surprising if you take notes on it too. And like, so honestly, I'd probably have to start it over, and that adds to it. Like at this point, it's been probably a year since I played it, and I've went through like a bunch of scenes that has given me a lot of information, but there's only so much I can mark down in the actual game. I'd have to go back and rewatch a lot of the scenes anyway. So who knows? But good news is it's on Switch.
I've seen it, and I remember you raving about it and me going, oh, I remember I like weird, unusual, quirky games. This might be the detective game I need. And then I kind of just held off because I hadn't been looking for games, but I saw that it was on the Switch. Yeah.
I mean, if you want to think while you poop, it's a
good poop thing. See, that's the problem. I don't think it's a think while you poop. It's a think for like a couple hours and solve the puzzle kind of game. It's not just a, I'm going to go to the red room and solve the red room while I poop, and then the next day I can go to the blue room and solve the...
You might be able to do a little bit of that. Because there are like different sections of the boat that you unlock. Like as you progress, like the first area you investigate is like the captain's cabin. And then you unlock like the galley, and so it might not be the galley, it might be like, anyway, like as you progress through like the scenes and find each like body or whatever, you unlock how they died and like see that scene and see, get a bunch of clues as to what's going on, and eventually, like after you get everything in the one area, like a new door unlocks and you go to the next area. But the thing is, you may not be able to solve everything. Like, you might have to come back to that area later with more information. Be like, oh, yeah, it's that guy. Now I understand. But there is, like, a sense of you've unlocked a new area and now explore this until you unlock another area. And then go back with the new knowledge you have and maybe figure some extra things out, sort of thing. I would recommend it, though. I think it's a good game for Switch, although I've also... thought other games are good for Switch, and what I've realized is Slay the Spire is my perfect game for Switch.
Yeah.
Because I can play that game and only give it half attention. I like playing my Switch while I'm watching TV. Like, that's the main time I play Switch, is I'm also watching TV with my girlfriend. And so, like, she's on her phone or computer or something doing something, and I'm on the Switch, and we're both kind of, like, passively watching TV and also... you know, doing the game thing. And what I've realized is I got Divinity Original Sin 2 on the Switch, and that's like a reedy RPG with like strategic combat. And I was like 100% focused on playing it. And I'm like, wait a minute, I just missed the last 10 minutes of the show we're watching. So if I'm watching something I've already seen, it's one thing. And I can probably tune out, both, but.
And, like, Divinity Original Sin, I'm looking at that for, like, the Switch, because for me, I'm like, I'm just going to sit down and play an RPG for a whole day.
That's one of those.
Yeah.
That isn't, like, half pay attention while you're... So, Return of the Obra Dinn is definitely not something I would be able to play while I'm on the TV. And I already have it on the computer, so I could probably just restart my game on that and start from the beginning. Do we got time for one more, you think?
Depends on how much content we have.
Give me another one.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and hit one more.
Do you think we're going to hit more of the 90s?
Yeah, do one more of the 90s for this one. Okay. We might move on to the 80s next round.
Okay, because if we're going to move on podcast. And I get to pick, I'm going to hit the decade spots. So, number 90.
No, I said 91 to 100.
Aw, oh, damn.
10.
95.
Okay. Number 95 is... Uncharted 3, Drake's Deception.
I remember us talking about Uncharted and me realizing, like, Uncharted is not Far Cry at all.
No, Uncharted is not Far Cry.
Uncharted is, if I remember correctly, more Indiana Jones-ish.
Yes. In fact, it is Indiana Jones the video game, like, straight up. Drake is, like, wisecracking adventurer who's looking for treasure, and there's like a slight mystical element to it.
Not a first person shooter, or is
third person shooter?
Third person. Okay, still can't see behind you at all times though, so
yeah. It's one of the better games for watching, though. Like, there is a lot of the action sequences are fun to watch even if you're not playing, and there's like a lot of cutscenes and dialogue and things like that, so I could imagine it's a good thing to like participate in if you want to see someone else play it and not care about, because it's very story based and narrative focused, and the characters are great. Uncharted 3, though, is not higher on my list because of a very weird phenomenon that it actually helped me. All right, let me back up here. I just started like five different sentences and didn't actually finish them. Uncharted 3 is semi-important in a way not related to its gameplay at all for me, in the fact that it made me realize I cannot binge on pre-release gaming content. So, like, Uncharted 2 came out in 2009 on the PS3, and it got rave reviews. Everyone loved Uncharted 2, I'd never played the first, so I got both of them and played them back to back. I played the first Uncharted, and then I played Uncharted 2. And my like Uncharted 2, one of my favorite games of the modern generations. Like, it is amazing. I love the story beats. I know some people don't like it. Some people think it's, you know, too samey and whatever. But Naughty Dog has its criticizers. I fucking love Uncharted 2. I don't care. The pulp Indiana Jones-ness of, like, just like action hero thriller that's like snarky and wisecracking, like, give me all of it. Like, just give me more Uncharted. I don't want Last of Us brooding. I want fun pulp action. So I was so much in love with Uncharted 2 that when they first announced Uncharted 3, I was like, I was all in from the very beginning. And I gorged myself on every piece of content they put out for it. Every trailer, every like little TV spot, every like behind the scenes. I went to a Uncharted 3 special screening at an AMC theater, got like a special swag bag where there was like a developer from the game there that like took questions after. They like played like a bunch of like behind the scenes stuff on the big screen and got to see like an 8-minute gameplay demo of never before seen footage.
I was about to say, how long was like...
It was like, I think somewhere between half an hour and an hour.
Okay.
Like, it wasn't like a full movie length, but it was... It wasn't like the Guardians of the Galaxy 10-minute, like,
sneak peek. Yeah, you didn't go and just see a trailer.
Right, no. It was a decent amount of content. And then I got the game, and it was a great game, but I kept waiting for that, oh yeah, moment from, like, Uncharted 2. Because in Uncharted 2, so much cool shit happens that you're, like, in awe all the time. You're like, holy shit, I can't believe I'm playing a game while this is happening. Holy shit, I can't believe this action. Holy shit, I'm fighting a tank.
Was it because in Uncharted 3 it wasn't there, or because you had seen it?
It was because I had seen it all. Like, all the big action set pieces had already been in trailers, in the behind-the-scenes footage. Every big action scene and, like, spot... I had already seen before. And it wasn't until the finale, like the last like 2 to 3 chapters of the game, that I saw something new. Everything else was just kind of like, okay, like, this is cool. Like, I'm glad I'm getting to play this, but I saw this played already. Mm-hmm. Like, I saw this entire action sequence already. And that's when I realized, like, I gotta cut back. Like, as much as I love video games, like, if I see, I'm like you when it comes to movies, but with video games. Like, if I see that first E3 trailer and I'm like, okay, I'm in, that's all I need. Like, I'll keep up with, like, information like, oh, this looks buggy, or, oh, like, there's clippy. Like, those sort of, like, technical issues, like, oh, shit, maybe you shouldn't actually buy this. It's not actually as good as it was in the trailer. Sort of technical things, but in terms of, like, hey, this is the gameplay trailer. Hey, this is the story trailer. No, thanks. Like, I'm good. Like, I've seen the beginning, like, 10 minutes of the Avengers footage for the Avengers video game. I'm good. I don't need to see any more of that. Like, I'll play it when it comes out. I saw Final Fantasy VII Remake is a little bit different because I've already played that game. So I've been kind of, like, looking at most of the footage from that. But that's different in the way of, like... Again, it's a remake of a game.
You played through it, you know the plot.
Whereas, God, what's the game? Other game coming out? Doom Eternal. Like, there's been, like, just all sorts of information dumped on Doom Eternal. And I'm like, I'm good. I saw the first trailer for it. I know it's coming. I played the first game. I love the first game. I don't need to do it. I don't need to see anything else. Like, I'll just be surprised at all the enemies and cool shit.
They've got your money.
Yeah, you might as well. I've already pre-ordered that shit. I don't need to see any new trailers for it. You're not selling me anymore. I'm already sold.
Yeah.
And Uncharted 3 was what did that for me because I overindulged. And, like, so it's on my list at a very, like, I honestly, there is no, it's like a sort of Pandora's box situation where I have no idea now what my reaction to that game would have been if I had only seen, like, one trailer for it and not known all the action sequence. Maybe I would have had the same feelings towards it as Uncharted 2 if I had that same mind-blowing set piece mentality when I was playing it. But everything was like, oh,
this is the second time I'm playing this. Like, you don't see Avengers Endgame the second time and have that same feeling. Like, it's still good, mm-hmm. but, like, there's a different feeling to it, you know? And so, Uncharted 3, good game, like, competent game, fun story, fun set pieces, but personally for me, like, it can't go much higher than this just because of how I feel, but it also feel like it should be on the top 100 because it actually had an impact on...
Like, I know you really like the Uncharted series from our previous discussion, so that's why I was surprised, actually, by both of these games being lower than what I would have thought you would have ranked it. This makes sense, though, and it's kind of... this is actually interesting to me. Like, again, knowing you, I like hearing the personal stories. Yes, the games themselves are somewhat interesting, but if they've affected you, that's fascinating.
Yeah. All right, so that's it for the countdown cauldron. We hit two this week since we didn't do one last week. Let us know. Comment. We're always like comments and questions. If you think we should speed it up, slow it down.
If you have a particular number that you really need us to like.
Yeah, hit. Like if you want to hit us to hit a number, let me know. We're kind of winging this. It's an interesting format. I think it serves a little bit.
I kind of like it a little bit more than the random cauldron.
Yeah.
And these games I know, actually, as opposed to the other one, the mini game of what game, what system. Yeah. Now it's, I can sum up this game in like one or two keywords that you've told me.
Okay. So now we're going to do something a little bit different. It might be a recurring segment.
Oh.
And I have given Harvey Z no warning and no prep work on it other than have something ready on his phone, maybe.
You told me to prep for it without telling me what to prep for, so I just didn't prep.
Okay, so what we're going to do right now, this is completely improvisational based on my knowledge of D&D and Harvey Z's knowledge of D&D, which is probably a little more than mine at this point. You've been in a game more recently than I have.
That's true.
Let's put it that way. And you have a little more experience with 5e, which is what we're going to be working
on. Okay.
We're going to be building a D&D class.
A class?
Yes.
A whole class. Okay.
Yeah. We're going to build a D&D class. We're not going to like do all the like little technical fiddly bits, but just like the general overview, like maybe some of the stats, that sort of thing. We are going to build so the segment is like build the D&D class. We're going to maybe just like do random shit. But what I want to do right now, we're going to make a gamer subclass or class. We're going to make the D&D gamer class.
So the class is gamer is the category, like warlock or fighter,
whatever. We're making the gamer D&D class.
Because I was half expecting, are we going to work on your potential, like, tabletop RPG that you think? This is just random, we're making a gamer. Okay.
Yeah, we're making a gamer.
With 5e frameworks of D&D kind of stuff, not like some other system.
Correct.
Okay. So the race or the class?
Class. Race doesn't matter. This is like, I'm going to be a gamer. So what's my hit die? What like starting powers do I get?
Oh boy, we're going to get stereotypical.
I mean,
yeah.
Gamers
can be all types of hit die.
There's all sorts of gamers.
They could be tanky or they could be like scrawny little. Okay. Yeah. So do you have a list of things that you have in mind or things that we're going to.
No, I prepped you. The amount of prep I gave you is the same amount of prep I made for myself, which is I opened a bunch of... I basically have right now the fighter, rogue, and warlock class in front of me as like examples.
Because I was trying to think off to the top of my head, like we should probably include some pluses, some minuses, some feats of some sort.
Yeah.
And then like what else would we need? Like starting equipment would be something.
Things like proficiency bonuses, hit points... like what kind of special things they get. Like fighters get to choose like a style when they start, so like maybe gaming style.
So that's where I'm like, so what utility is the gamer to, I'm assuming, a medieval fantasy / D&D world?
We're doing D&D, so this is that's what we're
okay,
not like,
so the gamer
I,
I don't mind this, I'm thinking about it now, but so like, is the gamer a support class? Is it a fighting class? Is it a like a sneaky sneak utility kind of guy? Or is it a spellcaster?
So I feel like the gamer...
This is actually like a huge like genre in like manga.
Really?
No, you're not aware of that.
No.
Okay, it's a whole thing in good mangas and in other mangas to have like the otaku like gamer guy teleports into the gamer world that he is. Oh. And like either it goes two ways. One, he becomes like an avatar type character in it where he's like a sword fighter or such, but he's of the real world and knows how the game works. Like Sword Art Online. I like that. I'm going to get some shit for it, but fuck you. I liked it as an anime. It's cheesy, good fun. But like in that one, like it's a virtual reality world and the gamer gets sucked in and now he's a fighter, but he knows like all the cool moves and he knows like secret doors and stuff like that. Then there's the other where he gets ported in as himself. Mm-hmm. And so he doesn't have like the full stats and abilities of a fighter, but he's kind of like a nerdy guy. However, he uses his, because he's the protagonist, his brilliance or whatever, and like is able to solve or min-max or like use diplomacy to hire people to join him or create like a harem basically. And like, you know,
okay, that yeah, kind
the
of
the manga anime. Gets interesting and okay. weird, well, but it's
so,
a genre.
So I want to make a gamer class. I don't want it to be like perfect knowledge. So
okay.
This isn't like the D&D gamer is now in the game.
So then it's a medieval gamer?
Yes.
Like yeah, I'm thinking a dude walking around with like almost like a bard now. He's got some dice.
See, so that's what I'm thinking is it's something similar to a bard. I think it's some sort of like spellcaster support-ish gamer.
I like this now, yeah.
Like I was also thinking along the lines of some sort of like artificer, okay. you know, like alchemist-y, like that sort of mm-hmm. Like, he's got that sort of vibe to him.
I could see the gamer being, like, so if you wanted to go more mystical with him, he or her, it could be more of, like a dice rolling, a probability type of gamer. Mm-hmm. Or you could go more of, like, the artificer, I'm thinking, like, a board gamer type of gamer, where he or she has, like, equipment, mm-hmm. and they can use their equipment to, like, maybe they create a little chessboard or something, and they could capture, like, monsters' movements, and by moving the chess pieces or such, they could move the enemy around in the board or like create buffs or debuffs and
right.
things like that.
That's you're hitting on kind of where I'm thinking
versus like the going back to the first. So which one would I play if I had the luck probability one? I almost start thinking of like a Yu-Gi-Oh summoner class where he has like a deck of cards or something and he plays it, and perhaps if he so again it's what board game or what gamer stereotype do you choose, like as maybe your subclass or things, if you are a dice type player.
Yeah, I think we could do both,
like, yeah,
because like the fighting, like I said, fighting style has different styles you choose, so what game type you choose could mm-hmm. definitely influence the path you go down.
I like this now a yeah. lot, like yeah,
can you like right now I'm gonna reference two things. One, I'm going to reference Sneak Attack Podcast, mm-hmm. and then I'm also going to reference the D&D game we played together on Skype, where mm-hmm. I'm imagining a class entirely based around Akio's cloak,
uh-huh.
with like the patches that just do random shit, and like Jenks's bag of
yeah.
cats or whatever, where he like threw, he had like a thing.
Those are both real things in D&D, though.
Right. Yeah. But like a class based around that is like the dice gambler gamer mm-hmm. type thing.
Because, so, like, there's the feat Lucky, which lets you re-roll your dice in mm-hmm. if you roll, like, a one or so. Or you can just re-roll a dice, like, two to three times a day. The dice roller easily fits into that sort of
yeah,
a thing.
Yeah, you could have that as, like, a starting feat or something. Like,
and, like,
a bonus.
It's just, because you want to separate it out so that, because when you're playing D&D, you're tabletop, you're rolling the dice and everything. But you want your character to have their own, like, dice game that they're playing. Like,
right.
It would almost be like a mini game. Would they have to play?
We don't make it yeah. too complicated.
Okay.
We don't make it too complicated. We're like, all right, I'm rolling my character's die. All right, now I'm rolling my die yeah. to see if my character's die. Like,
see,
I want like critical failures on dice rolls, where like the character rolls the dice, and because you roll a one, the character rolls the absolute worst thing you could do in that
yeah.
combination and just, like, you know, summons, like, a succubus or something.
And I like this in the sense of, like, so you have a D&D party that's out there, and they're about to fight some goblins, and like there's the paladin and the cleric, and they're going over battle plans, and the wizards prepare their spells, and then you have this gamer who starts like shuffling his cards out, starts like making sure his dice is all shiny, and then they raid the goblin village, and they're having this whole battle scene, and then a goblin suddenly steps out and pulls out his deck, and then the gamer's like, oh, and it goes back and forth, and they suddenly start pulling out, and then meanwhile the paladin is cutting off heads of people in the background, the cleric is fighting explosions, and then we cut back, they're playing, oh, good move there, and, oh, I would have gone here, and I'll allow it. The paladin looks back and then goes back. Oh, that's the moment I need in the game.
That sells the gamer
to me. I want enemy, like, the gamers.
Enemy gamers, yeah.
I want to fight, like, you gotta fight them all, like, kobolds and goblin gamers and such, who have their own twists and rules to the game.
Oh, jeez, that's great. I like that.
And, like, people who play D&D now, like, they have their own special die. Like, this is the dice I use for, like, the most important roles. So imagine, like, a gamer based around that. Like, the class, you know, there's, like, the magical die and, like, the metal die. And then this is
my flame dice. It causes flame damage.
Yes, things like that. Like, enchanted dice. You know, there's, he can, whatever, that sort of thing.
Okay, so now we have, like, the idea of how the gamer works. And so it would get into the hard stuff of like, we could get into the nitty gritty of like, oh, what's his hit dice? What's his like base equipment and stuff? But like,
okay, so why don't we do a little bit of that?
Yeah.
Like, so I feel like gamer is going to be weak. Like he's going to be a spellcaster level. I feel like D8 for hit die.
Okay. Wizards like, are usually D6s, but I think
D8 feels right to me because he's not like, I don't want him to be glass cannon-y, and I keep saying he, but like,
they,
I don't want them to be glass cannon-y, but I also don't want them to be a tank. I want them to be a support role, but enough of a support role that they don't need to be, they can do their own protection.
Like I could see it as like a bard or a warlock or like a ranger type, which are usually, I think, the D8s.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So like, it's an average person, basically, is a gamer.
Yeah. That's about right. What kinds of like armor and weapons do you think they can deal with? I feel like not a lot.
Simple stuff.
I feel like simple weapons.
They're not gonna have armor and stuff because they gotta have their gaming equipment.
Yeah.
They gotta have their backpacks. So maybe
like
and stuff.
Light armor at best, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're not gonna be doing medium or heavy armor. Probably no shields, or do you think they carry a shield? Like, do they carry a shield and like it doubles as they're like dice rolling?
You could put it as their dice box.
Yeah.
Or like if they're gaming, they have to not lose their shield, but the shield is lowered. I could see them having, if they are a card gamer or a dice gamer to use it. If they're a board gamer, they need both hands and such.
Yeah.
Oh, I could see that somebody has like miniatures in a box and stuff. You have to keep that at all times protected. That becomes more like the artificer.
Yeah. See here. I'm looking at the class. So like the proficiencies they go with are armor and weapons, which we've talked about. Tools. Do you think I assume under tools is going to be their game and equipment, yes, right?
Because actually like right now, I think fighters can pick a tool and you can pick a musical instrument. But one of the things you can also pick is, like, there is a chessboard or a deck of cards or such, and you can be skilled at games already.
Yeah.
But the gamer must have, like,
yeah, so proficiency I feel like or mastery. Their tools is going to be their game and equipment, and based on which subclass they decide to start with or style they go with, it'll be deck of cards versus dice versus miniatures or a board.
Because I could see it
chessboard
like,
game type thing.
In my mind, the card gamer is going to be more of like a summoner type druid where you're going to summon allies to help you. The dice one, I just like it, but it's like it's the buffing, the debuffing, the bardic kind of like inspiration and those sorts of kind of buffs in that way. Mm-hmm. But so then the war gamer or the guy with the miniatures, how do they work? Because that's tedious and like he has lots of pieces.
Wait, so which one did you say was a summoner?
I was going to say, like, the card gamer.
So, like, the card guy, like, plays Yu-Gi-Oh! A card.
Style. Yu-Gi-Oh! Plays a card style. And, like, a badger comes out on the field or something.
I guess, yeah, I was thinking of cards, which I guess would function similar to dice. Like,
you could make the card archetype, though, more of a gambler type. And, like, roguish, and, like, the cards are more, like, playing high-low poker, that sort of stuff. But I just love
the. Yeah, I think using it as the summoner is probably a good idea. The war. So if are we doing dice, cards, miniatures as the three?
I think like the three or the board gamer for the miniatures. Like,
miniatures, I feel like also works as summoning. Mm-hmm. Where like you have the miniature, like, and I'm thinking something along the lines of like the Star Wars game they play on the Millennium Falcon, yeah. Where like he has miniatures that kind of do like metaphysical, like psionic sort of like beasts or whatever that will like grow out of the miniatures and uh-huh. He can like command them and stuff. But like if the miniature is destroyed, which is very easy to do, like they go away, mm-hmm. That sort of thing. Whereas like cards, I feel like we can do like a different type of summoning. Mm-hmm. Maybe use like tarot cards versus like
the cards could even lend themselves to like schools of magic, depending on the types of. So you could have like a tarot card deck. So maybe it's you're good at cards, and then you have to pick like what types of decks. Because I could see that becomes a quest item for like each of these gamers could have quests. I need to find these enchanted dice of like poison so I can have this extra buff, or I need to find this special deck, or the Black Lotus exists out there and it's worth so much money if we can just collect it for my deck. And then the miniatures, it's just like, oh, there's this super powerful demon monster thing, but I just need to collect it and it's $500.
Yeah, it's only like in this very rare edition that only came out on Kickstarter, and I wasn't there to back it, so I need to get it off this guy.
This wizard, he just took it from us all from eBay.
Okay, so saving throws is the next
what are they good at defending against?
Yeah. I feel like
there's like six types, right? Or so.
Yeah, so it's strength, dexterity, intelligence, wisdom, constitution, and charisma.
Feel like intelligence is kind of the stereotypical. You got to throw it out there for the gamer. He's smart. They're smart.
Is it like, are we doing intelligence-based or wisdom-based? I feel like intelligence-based is probably where I'm going, right?
Yeah.
Not charisma, though.
That's the stereotype. I was about to say.
The stereotype, we're definitely not, the gamer is not charismatic.
And then you're going to say not, like, strong. Maybe some dexterity, though.
Dexterity?
Because like, maybe the card and the dice ones are more dexterity. Perhaps the other...
I mean, the miniatures, you have to be very dexterous to paint those. That's like, they're very small.
I like that. So dexterity and intelligence.
Okay. Is there saving throws? I like that. I think that works.
And you get two, I think, right?
Yeah. There's two. And then there's the skills, which seems like choose blank from blank. Mm-hmm. Like the rogue, you get to choose four from a list of, I think,
because they're
like
a utility person. 12. And same with how much does the bard get?
I don't have the bard up. Give me a second.
Because I think those two might be the archetypes of where we're looking at.
So the bard gets to choose any three skills.
Okay.
Like while the fighter, rogue, warlock, they have like a set they have to choose from. The bard just gets any three he wants, mm-hmm. or she. So I feel like, how many skills do you think they get? Like what are the, let me do a quick look.
There's like 12 of them, right? Or there's a lot, actually. Yeah.
I want to see what the 5e skills are.
Because there are things like athletics, things acrobatics, like, yeah, and I don't know if those are really, there is one for like performance, perhaps, but that's a charisma base. Usually they're broken up by what they're good at. So like a rogue would be good at dexterity based skills. A fighter is good at the strength one. So they do have like what it is.
So here, so let me see here. So dexterity is acrobatics, sleight of hand, and stealth.
Sleight of hand.
Intelligence is arcana, history, investigation, nature, and religion.
I could see. So the one sleight of hand makes complete sense. They should have sleight of hand.
Yes. Yeah, so all of these are, you get to, every one is, you get to choose what you're getting. So like the rogue is choose four from acrobatics, athletics, deception, insight, intimidation, investigation, perception, performance, persuasion, sleight of hand, and stealth. So I feel like we're not assigning them a skill, but sleight of hand should be one of the ones they get to choose.
Mm-hmm. I could see for intelligence, arcana makes sense from just this guy knows magic. History, I could see because gamers are all about the lore and the background and backstory.
Investigation, gamers explore. So I feel like give them, how many skills do you think? Two, three, four? Bards get 3 out of any of them. Rogue gets 4 because they're utility. Mm-hmm. Warlock and Fighter only get 2, but they're aggressive. I feel like utility-wise, maybe 3?
I was thinking 3, yeah. But maybe they have to pick 3. They're not as flexible as a bard.
Yeah. So 3, and let's how out of Sleight of Hand, mm-hmm. Arcana, History, Investigation. So those are the out of the two
main things that they two are main known
things
for.
They do. Then animal handling. I don't think
summoning. I could see it, but no.
Insight, maybe.
Wisdom based, but yeah, I could see insight to figure out your opponent's moves.
Yeah. Insight. Medicine, no. Athletics, no.
No.
Perception.
Maybe you got to see the pieces perception, or see what's going on.
Survival.
If you get into wargaming, maybe, but it's a stretch. Right now we're at 6. There might be others that are better.
Deception.
Gotta have that.
Deception. Intimidation.
Gamers. It's gamers. Like if there was if there's like trolling or making threats.
Yeah. Intimidation. Yeah. Performance.
I could see it. That's like the last one on the list that I could see. If we pick it, that's 9 skills.
Yeah, so I feel like and the last one is persuasion. And I feel like...
Gamers argue all the time.
True, but they're not very good at it.
Which, it's not a main skill. Like, you would have to have put it into charisma.
All right. So, do we want to cap it at 9? Or do we want to do 10 and just include all the charisma ones?
Ooh, I wouldn't want to include all the charisma ones then. Okay. We should take out one.
So, deception, intimidation, performance, persuasion. Which of the 4 do you think...
You need your deception. You need your... Maybe performance might be the one actually to take away.
Performance? Okay. Yeah. So, you get to choose 3 skills, and you get sleight of hand, arcana, history, investigation, insight, perception, deception, intimidation, and persuasion.
And so you can pick 3 that you'll be proficient at as your type of gamer.
Yeah. And there's like some in the ones they're good at skill checks on, but there's also some in like the wisdom and charisma, which I feel like seems reasonable. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've set up a lot of stuff. Starting equipment, probably like something like...
They should get whatever game system they are. Equipment, they get that.
Probably like some light armor, maybe like daggers or... Like, so do we... Are we giving them, like, what is their base attack? Like, are they using their, like, are we going to give them some sort of, like, 1d6, like, intrinsic, like, dice roll attack? Like, is their equipment, like, their gaming equipment going to be related to their attack, or do they give them, like, a knife?
See, I feel like they get their gaming equipment, but, like, a basic attack, they might need, like, simple equipment, like a wizard would have, like, a staff or a dagger. I could see them having staff, dagger, or hand crossbows.
What does a bard get?
They get a rapier, maybe.
Yeah, they get a rapier.
So that seems too fancy for the...
Yeah.
Or maybe it depends on your class of gamer. Like, the war gamer might get an actual, like, smashy type of a physical thing, while, like, maybe the dice person gets, like, a swishy weapon, and, like, the card gamer can kind of... They can choose, like, maybe the hand crossbow.
They don't get any range, right? Because they're going to be sort of spellcastery, so I don't think they need, like, a crossbow or anything. They get, like, so there's packs, like, Dungeoneer's pack, Explorer's pack. Do we get, I think, Scholar's pack? Like,
I could see them getting a Scholar's pack. It's just filled with, like, rulebook stuff.
Well, so they give them, all of them get choices.
Uh-huh.
So, like the bard gets either a Diplomat's pack or an Entertainer's pack. Warlock gets Scholar's pack or Dungeoneer's pack.
Mm.
Rogue gets Burglar, Dungeoneer, or Explorer. So I feel like Scholar is definitely one of the choices.
Does any of the packs come with gaming equipment? One might. That's why.
Let me see. Burglar's pack. No, they're not getting a Burglar's pack. That has too much like rogue type stuff in it.
Cause, like,
this Diplomat's pack has like maps and scrolls, bottle of ink, pen, chest.
So I can see that for like the miniatures person.
Yeah, there's some sort of gaming. Dungeoneer's pack has like a crowbar and crap. It's not. Mm-hmm. Entertainer's pack has a bedroll and costumes and disguises. No.
I mean, you could make the costume cosplay.
Cosplay, that's true. Scholar's pack is similar to the Diplomat's pack. instead of a chest, you get a backpack, you get a book of lore.
I feel like that fits in with actually the gamer. They get, like, not a book of lore, but, like, a book of, like, gaming rules or things like that for, like, the cards, the set of what are all the cards out there in the world or something, like a quest kind of like a
item. So I think they get to choose between the diplomat, entertainer, and scholar. And the diplomat and, like, the diplomat and scholar are the main ones. Entertainer is if your gamer happens to be a cosplayer.
I like that, yeah. Because also I feel like the miniatures person needs a chest to keep all their pieces. To, like, protect it, because that would be a thing. Oh, there's the big scary monster, but if you can destroy the dude's pieces,
yeah,
you might be able to destroy the monster and break the summoning or such.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And after that, we kind of start getting into, like, what are their base skill proficiencies? What do they get? That sort of thing, which I feel like we need more time.
Yeah.
We need to consult the rules and everything more for that. But I feel like we've got a pretty good base.
It was just figuring out how the gamer plays.
Yeah.
I think that was the biggest key thing.
Yeah. And I like what we've got. I like this.
Because there's three different kind of classes, and we can kind of take it a lot of different ways now.
Yeah.
It adds room for homebrewing if you have a certain deck. It adds plot hooks for D&D, like, or for the DMs themselves. Mm-hmm. If you, like, why would you motivate the gamer to do something? Greed.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like we might be able to continue this. Like, if we come back to it, like, with a little more prep work... Mm-hmm. We can, like, discuss, like, further, like, down the line. Like, all right, what does he get at level 5? What does she get at level 10? Like, what does their each abilities do? Like, where are the special things going along the
lines? Maybe focus on each one of them to, like, let them grow out a little bit.
Right.
Because I would... Which one would you want to play? Of the subclasses?
I think it... it depends on how they flesh out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of digging the cards...
I'm liking, because I'm thinking again, Yu-Gi-Oh! Magic the Gathering style, mm-hmm, and I know those system kind of things. I could see the cards, and the cards seem the most easily flexible to, like, where if I was to make it Magic the Gathering, it could be elemental. These decks do fire damage, these decks do this damage, or it could be summoning stuff, and it's like, this deck will create this. Like, it's the most imaginative. Yeah. The dice one is the hardest for me to, like, imagine what they do.
I don't know. I kind of like the dice. It reminds me a lot of the, the calculator from Final Fantasy Tactics.
My least favorite guy from the Final Fantasy Tactics. It just destroys me half the time.
Like,
I feel like the miniatures person has the hold on the summoning. So maybe the card person needs to see if there's other ways to play this out besides just also summoning, but summoning, like, weaker animals or such.
Yeah.
So I want to see what else is in there for the card person.
All right. So why don't you look at the cards, since you like the cards. I'll take a look at the dice, and we can maybe, like, cooperatively go over the miniatures if we want to. Also, just to be clear, I don't want the card guy to turn into Gambit.
Like, I wasn't thinking at that.
I don't want like the cards being the actual weapons.
That's not a game then. Yeah, you wouldn't destroy your equipment.
Yeah, that's not the heart of the gamer.
Yeah. No, I'm picturing again a guy who in the middle of battle goes, "Believe in the heart of the cards," and has to, like, turn it over. Damn it, I didn't get what I again, the cinematic sequence, paladin fighting in the background, wizard spells, cut to two enemies and, like, the card gamer playing cards furiously as, like, all of this is happening. I could see it again in, like, a quick cutscene. They're playing stuff, and it's actually affecting, like, the battle around them and such, and they're just intensely playing a game.
I imagine, like, the boss or, like, one of the major enemies is, like, in, like the balcony, and he's, like, playing cards in front of him, and, like, it's affecting the battlefield below, and then your guy sneaks up behind him and is like, "Aha!" and, like, plays his own card. Okay. All right. I think this is a good start. We've got our...
I love it. They're all having swords and stuff, and then one of them pulls out his dice pouch. The gamer looks at him. They know.
Yeah. All right. Well, this is going to continue. I think...
That got weird.
It got weird, but I feel it turned out a good segment.
I hope it becomes successful enough that we should actually run a stupid one shot of us as all these little, like, gamers. And see, like, if someone's willing to play it.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. So until next week, where can they find you, Harvey C?
They can find me on Twitter at the Z is silent, or you can catch me on Discord. Some of you guys are out there. Yeah. I see you.
You can find me at T-Man Plays Games on Twitter. You can find our podcast at Make Me a Podcast. You can always email us at makemeagamerpodcast@gmail.com if you have any comments, questions, thoughts on the gamer classes. You can find my writings at tmanwrites.com, and you can always join our Discord in the link in the description. I did say I was going to be moving the servers of the podcast before the end of this month that we're recording this in, and that didn't happen. but it will be happening at some point, so take a look out for that. And that's it. That's a wrap. Harvey Z, take us out.
Now I just want to start like quoting random rap lyrics and stuff.
Why? What does that even have to do with
it? It's just anything? Like when you end a show, you need like an outro like piece. Like a little
and
stinger.
That's rap lyrics?
For some reason it's rap music. Yeah. Like, how do you picture, what's our musical like stinger? Like, because our intro, it's not rap music at all, but
no,
like,
it's not.
Like, no, like a bad boys kind of vibe or something.
What part of our podcast makes you think we have a bad boys vibe?
I mean, we're not country gamers. We're not like classical music. Like hip hop, I think it's what the kids listen to these days.
We're not kids.
But we gotta hook it. We gotta get in.
The least thing that kids want is old people pretending that they know what's hip. It's like that is the easiest way to become a meme and not actually have anyone care about you.
I was about to say, we could be memes.
Like, I don't want to be a meme. I just want to have a nice fan base that interacts with us and we have a good time. I don't want to be a meme.
Now I'm thinking of like trying to find a quick pun for memes. And like, instead, what if we go...
Oh God, what if there's a meme subclass?
So actually, I have seen like D&D like builds around that. Mind flayers. Mind flayers are the way to go for memes.
Oh Jesus, I can see it now. Oh no. Oh, God. Okay. That's enough. We're done. The meme flare is not happening. Memening. Oh, God.